And we have to understand that God is omnipresent, right? He's everywhere. He's everywhere all the time. But obedience, our obedience opens us up to experience his presence, his favor and his blessing. Your entire walk with God is founded on obedience. Have you ever thought of it that way? You struggle with the word obedience, but your entire walk is founded on it. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 says, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." We're to hearken to that, to take heed. I got several examples here, and I want to tell you as I'm going through the examples that there are numerous words, numerous verses, numerous chapters, books, characters within the Bible that illustrate the obedience that we should have. And I've only got a few today, but Luke 10:27, we're already being obedient to that, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He's not saying now or else. He's saying heed these instructions. This is what I do. You're going to need this. John 3:3 says, "Unless a man is born again, he will not enter," or excuse me, "he will not see the kingdom of God." So as Jesus was telling Nicodemus that, he was telling him how important that obedience was. And he's telling us, "I love you and follow me. There's this wide path that leads to destruction, but a narrow gate I want it to, that leads to eternal life, and I want you to follow me through that gate." He's leading us back to Eden. Then there's baptism. That's obedience. We saw plenty of that last week, right? Mark 11:25 says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so your Father in heaven can forgive you your sin." We have to be obedient to that. And when we do that, that's obedience. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully ministering God's grace in its various forms." That's a call to obedience. And 2 Corinthians 9:7, "Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." It says after that to give and experience abundance. Practicing obedience brings us into God's presence. In 1 Samuel 15:22, at a time when sacrifice was required, right? Samuel asked, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." So everybody with me so far on the practicing biblical obedience, right? Yes, our obedience to God reflects our faith in him also. It reflects our love and our trust of Jesus. A lack of obedience begs the question, where am I at in my relationship with God? Do I truly love God? John 14:15 says, Jesus said, "If you love me, you keep my commands." Do I honor and glorify him? Understand, God is never going to prevent your disobedience. He may get in your way at times because he needs you to be directed towards his purpose. He's not gonna stop your disobedience, because if he did, our obedience wouldn't be worth anything. Or am I just complying with a book? Is your obedience just complying with a book? See, this is the greatest book ever written. The most number one bestseller of all times, but it's viewed two ways. It's in a drawer in a hotel, some hospitals. It's given as a gift. It stays on a shift or a shelf. Some people carry it around. It gets dusty, but it doesn't get opened very often. It's a book. But to a lot of us, it's the greatest conversation you'll ever have every day. So am I looking at my obedience? Am I being obedient because it's a book? Am I being obedient because it's my conversation with God every single day? Or religion? Remember when Jesus said in John 5:39-40, "You study," he was telling the leaders, "you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you'll find eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me for life." And that's even the New Testament. We refuse to have that conversation every day. We refuse to come into God's presence and have eternal life. Or is it a fear? Are we obedient out of fear? Our obedience shouldn't be through fear. It should be through reverence. And there is a difference. See, fear involves anxiety and dread, where reverence is deep respect and awe. Or am I complying because others are watching? Mom and dad are watching. My wife is watching. Usually it's my wife is watching, but sometimes my husband is watching. Is the church watching? Are my Christian neighbors watching? Or am I obedient because I need a blessing? Lord, I haven't cussed this week. I haven't shook my fist at anybody. I've had no bad thoughts because I just really want to be good because like that promotion comes next week and I want that promotion, Lord. But God knows our heart, right? In the same way, through obedience, when we hearken unto Jesus' words, there is blessing and peace. At birth, right, we just love the babies when we have kids. I've got my youngest granddaughter here, and they're just amazing when they're babies. All the kids are amazing. But when they're born, a parent loves their child first, and the child doesn't know yet what love is, right? They feel it, but they can't define it. But over time, it defines, if it's real, it defines itself. We're no different, right? I was no different as a child. You know, I revered my father. Man, my pop was an amazing man, and I loved him. And when I messed up, though, and I knew the discipline was coming, I'm not going to lie, there was a little dread in the air. I knew that whooping was coming. Didn't happen to come often for me, though. I learned quick. But it really wasn't the wave of discipline, see, that affected me. It was the fact that I hurt or embarrassed the man who reared me, the man who raised me, the man that taught me to fish, the man that would stop every night on his way into the house because I timed it perfect to stand out in front and look like the dejected kid with no friends, just throwing the ball. And he would show up and he would see me out there and he knew the game. And he'd put his stuff down, and he'd come out and say, "Hey, buddy," and we'd throw the ball, football or baseball, and so it was the fact that he was ashamed of me. It was the fact that I disappointed him that hurt me the most. And it's the same with our Father in heaven, right? When we have a relationship with him, we want to be obedient. We don't want to hurt our Father. I was happiest when I made my pop proud. When I heeded or I hearkened to his instructions, there was blessing and peace, and there was no separation. And I'll mention separation again here in a minute. And I'd mention that there are also examples all through the Word of God. When you look at Abraham, could you imagine being 100 years old and your wife is 90, and God is faithful and he comes through and your wife has a child. And a lot of people sometimes are like, well, that's just a story. It's not a story. If God said it, it's true. So imagine that for a minute. And then years later, God says, okay, you know, I was faithful to you, but now I want that kid back. I want you to build an altar. I want you to sacrifice your son. I want you to burn him. I want you to send him back to me. Abraham was prepared to comply. He showed us all prompt trust and obedience. Following God through obedience and trusting full in him leads to us being filled with peace and joy, filled with hope. It leads to blessings, filled with blessings, a life filled with blessings. And I don't want to sit here and, if you're not having a blessing today or yesterday something went wrong, I don't want to lead you astray and say that every little thing that happens in the life of a man of God or a woman of God is a blessing. That's not what this means. This means the totality of your life is blessed. You are in God's presence. We'll have hard times, but the totality, it is a blessed life to be in the presence of the Lord. When we are in alignment with God, it strengthens us. It provides us a greater intimacy. It brings us closer in a spiritual relationship, and it brings us right into his presence. So the other side of obedience is disobedience, though. And disobedience is sin. And we go, well, some disobedience is just not doing something I really didn't want to do, but I'm not sinning. Disobedience is sin. Sin is any thought, action, or attitude that goes against God, His will, and His commands. It's doing what is wrong or not doing what is right as it pertains to God's will and purpose. James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. It is an offense against God, who is perfect and righteous and has no darkness. When we sin, we're opposing God. Do we ever look at it like that? Even when we sin against somebody else, we're opposing God. We're opposing His divine character. We're opposing His holiness. We're saying, I know better. I know better than God knows. I don't need God today. When we're sinning. And it's not just your actions and your thoughts. It's the condition of your heart. The condition of your heart is always important. So it stands to reason that if we're in persistent sin, you're not in alignment with God. There's separation. Sin causes separation from God, right? We know that from the scriptures. Did you know, though, that the separation is on you? It's not on God, right? See, it says in Isaiah 59:2, tells us, but your sins have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. But it isn't that God turns His back and turns His face. He's present everywhere. He wants us in His presence. He wants to be present in your life. And it isn't that He turns His back when He sins. It's you turn your back when you sin. It's that shame that comes over us when we sin at times and we just look away and we get up in the morning, we're like, I'm not going to read today. Whew. I don't feel like reading because I'm not that close to God. I'm not going to pray right now because God knows what I did last night. God knows what I did earlier today and I'm just not worthy. And man, don't think the enemy ain't there whispering to you, you're not worthy. God don't want to hear from you right now, bro. Don't pray. That separation is on us. And we've all felt it, right? You have to sit in this room and say, I have felt that before. I have sensed a distance. God seems far away. Maybe as a new Christian, maybe later in your life, you've backslidden a little bit. You feel a strain in that relationship or a sense of anxiety or urgency, but fortunately Christ died for that, right? He died for our sins, each and every one of us. And Romans 8:38 and 39 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Thankfully, when you have Christ, sin is just a struggle. It's not our identity. And redemption and atonement through Jesus Christ restores us daily. When we truly are in a relationship with God, though, I want to say separation doesn't have to happen. Does that make sense? Separation would be on us. And when it does, it's temporary. Mentioned earlier in the season in these, it said, we talked about how when that veil was torn from top to bottom, we were given access to God's presence. The Bible says His presence is in heaven, it's in all of earth. The Bible tells us it's here as well, right? We're the temple. But we all sin, and faith and repentance becomes our lifestyle, not persistent sin. Freedom from sin is only found in our obedience. And I'd have to say today that if faith and repentance is not part of your lifestyle, I'm saying this for the second time, it begs the question, where am I in my relationship with Jesus Christ? Am I feeling that distance because of my lack of obedience? Maybe it's time to sit down in your prayer room and put your hands up to God and just close your eyes and just shut the world out and say, God, reveal to me the sin in my life. God, I want to be obedient to you in all things. And I would encourage you, if you're going to do that, or if there is sin in your life, your sin is not so great, God's not going to forgive it. Open your arms and run to him. Every time. He doesn't get tired. Do you ever get tired when your kid's been scolded and you're walking down the hall and they're chasing you? Mom, daddy, or in my case, pa. God doesn't get tired of that. You got to trust God. He wants you to overcome. And I want to point out that trusting God is also obedience. Trusting and believing and having faith is obedience. So I talked a lot about, I went down that sin path a little bit. And man, that's a whole nother message in and of itself. I actually had to just cut pages out. I got carried away. But I wanted to leave a little bit of it in there. And I think that was God giving you all a break. He was like, whew, Bob, you're hammering these people. So how do we practice God's presence through obedience? God meets you where you're at when he calls you. Show up every day and be in his presence. Be in the word. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Hearken and heed that word. That's what that obedience means. Hearken and heed that word. And I want to tell you, if you don't fill your mind with the word of God, the enemy will fill your mind with fear, with anger, with intimidation, with temptation, with worry. Spend time with God daily. All the relationships you have with your wife, with your kids, with your hobbies, with your dog, with your friends, with your coworkers, look at the time you invest in those relationships. Do you spend the time you invest in those relationships investing in the most important relationship you have, the one with Jesus Christ, your Savior? We have to ask ourselves that. How do we hear God if we're not spending time with him? At the recent GLS conference, the Global Leadership Summit, and this was one of the satellite locations, and then there's a main location. It's a leadership summit, and there's a main location where it's being filmed, and then we're piping it in here, and people are coming in here to get great continuing education and to learn more about leadership, and it's always a great conference. And at this last one, they had one of the speakers had a family emergency, I believe they said, and she had to leave. And so at that main conference, they have so many leaders that aren't even speakers, prominent leaders and speakers and teachers that show up, but they weren't speakers that day, but they show up to learn too. They're humble. And so they asked in there, they went out to their leaders and they say, who's going to replace the speaker that we lost? And Tara Lee Cobble stepped up. Here am I. She stepped up. Now, if you don't know Tara Lee Cobble, she created thebiblerecap.com, and she also has an app you can get on your phone. And she actually demonstrated what she does for us at the conference, and it's a Bible reading plan, and at the end of the Bible reading each day or week, whenever that is on her plan there, she breaks down every verse by verse, every single one. She even demonstrated it using the Lord's Prayer for us. And she breaks down every single verse and tells you what that verse says about God. Every single verse. But one thing that stuck with me, she said, is if you want intimacy with God, read the Bible. Don't just listen to others. Be obedient and read his word. You don't ask somebody, could you imagine, she said this too, could you imagine sitting in a room with your wife and a high school friend of hers or college friend and you're looking at them and you're going, tell me about Margaret. Tell me everything you know. Shh, babe. Tell me about Margaret. Okay, you done? All right, you can leave. Bring in the next high school friend. Tell me about Margaret. Shh, babe. Tell me about Margaret. Instead of getting to know my wife, I'm listening to what everybody else says about her. What about when your pastor talks? Don't hate me for this, JR. But you don't just expect your pastor to tell you about God. What if he's wrong? What if I'm wrong today? I love everybody in this room, and I am not offended if you go to the Word of God as soon as you get home and you and your wife or you and your husband talk about me and go, he was wrong. That's fine. And please come and tell me where I was wrong so I know better next time. But you don't just listen to your pastor to tell you about God. And I'm not talking about our pastor. I love our pastors here, Jason and JR, and they bring it. They bring the word of God. But other pastors, if you're not in the word, how do you know if they're wrong? How do you know if they're leading you astray? So another one, how about practicing God's presence through praise and song? Right? Wasn't that great today when we all just worshiped and praised God together and we sang together? And do you ever find yourself doing that going down the road or at a traffic stop and then you look over and people are looking at you like you're nuts? Or you do it first thing in the morning? Or when I'm home alone cleaning, which don't happen very often, but I turn on B.J. Thomas' worship album from years ago and I just walk around the house and I praise God. And praising the Lord, folks, it's not a group sport. It's like wrestling. It's an individual sport that you go out there one-on-one with God. Or just like in wrestling, you're one-on-one and you try to win your match, and then if you win your match, you're a champion. And your points go towards the team. So see, if we're all out here worshiping God, our point, then it becomes a team win. How about practicing God's presence through prayer? Can you say to yourself right now, I pray enough? I don't see anybody raising their hands. I wouldn't either. But can you honestly say, I pray enough? I can't tell you how many times I've been in prayer and God, I am sorry I don't pray more. And then there are other times where I'm just driving down the road having a conversation for 20 minutes with him. But none of us can say we pray more. In fact, don't just ask God when you pray. Don't ask God just for healings and for help and what you need in your life. Ask for his presence. Ask to be in his presence, for him to be present with you. If you're going to pray, man, get the whole package of God. Another one is be open to God's voice. Is he asking you to change or to give something? Maybe give something up, to sacrifice something. Are you willing to adjust your life to serve God's will and purpose? What if God is calling you on a mission? If you felt that, would you say yes? Or what if he's calling you to tithe? And this is not a message about tithing. We trust God here. But what if God is talking to you about your tithing? He's saying, hey, Bob, you've been tithing the same amount for the last 15 years, but you're 9 promotions into your career. Or maybe you haven't ever tithed and you're not sure about it or what it means. And God is saying it's time. Serving. You know, are you willing to adjust your life if God has called you to serve at your church? Our good friend Mark Spencer once asked several of us, are you willing to let Jesus do what he needs you to do, what he needs to do in you, so that you can all work together? And I changed that question a little this morning, and I ask, are we, you and I, willing to let Jesus do in us whatever is necessary to serve his purpose? See, if following Christ never costs us anything, here's the third time I'll ask that. Maybe it's time to ask God, if I'm truly following you, God, am I truly lusting you or loving you? Am I truly, like how I put love and trust together, that sounded horrible. Am I truly lusting you? See, I laughed at me first, so it didn't hurt when you laughed at me. Am I truly loving you, God? Am I truly trusting you, God? Am I truly following you? Have I truly given my life to you? Because it costs something. Jesus told us it would cost something. It might cost you something in the tithing, right? But God always covers you. God always blesses you when you faithfully tithe. It might cost you something. It might cost you relationships when we love the Lord. I don't want you to show your hands, but I do want to say, who here in this room has lost a friend or never speaks to a family member because they don't want to hear about Jesus Christ? They don't care that you are totally in love with your God. It costs us relationships. costs us humility. Anybody in here ever been put in check by God? You're looking at the poster child. It costs you time. A relationship with Jesus Christ will cost you time. Time to serve, time to host a small group, time to preach, time to study, time to pray, time to meet with a friend that needs you, time to meet with another group that you belong to. It'll cost you time. Practicing God's presence through obedience aligns with our sanctification. It's ongoing. Striving to be in God's presence every day. It requires commitment. In Jeremiah 29:13, God told the people, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." It requires desire. It requires intentionality for us to be intentional. It's a heartfelt decision to align your life with him and experience all he has for you. In Deuteronomy 5:33, Moses tells the people to walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land you will possess. And a lot of times when you see verses like that, you always have that person that says, "Well, that's not for us. That was for the Hebrews. That was for the Israelites. That was for a time long ago. That was for a people in a different covenant." I say hogwash. I say hogwash because I want to remind you that in the early verses 9 and 10 there, it says, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." That's just four generations, right? And I don't know what a generation is. A generation of people 40 years left Egypt. Generation could be 25. I think in Psalms it talks about a generation. But if it's 10 years, 25 years, 40 years, or 100 years, the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. And besides, I told you about my dad whooping me. I didn't get it very bad because I had an older sister. See, and I got to watch that stuff. And see, if she got in trouble for playing with matches or playing in the traffic, I could see that and I could go, "Whew, she got a whooping." Now, I was smart enough to say, "I won't do that." But then my brother came 4 years later and he didn't get to see any of it. See, my brother got it every day one summer. And I asked him, I go, "Dude, you get whooped. Dad takes a switch to you every single day of your life. What is wrong with you?" And my brother said, "While he's at work," he wasn't supposed to ever leave the yard. "While he's at work, I go run around for 8 hours and I have a blast. And that spanking only lasts 2 minutes. Now, there's something wrong up there, right? But when you look at that sibling and you see that sibling being disciplined, you never go, "Well, my father disciplined her for doing that. That wasn't for me." And then you go play with matches or play in the street, right? See, we look at God and his character through the whole word, even in the Old Testament. And that's not just for a nation. It's not just for a people. It's for all of us. God is immutable. God is immutable. That means he's the same over time. That means his attributes and his characters don't change. It means his love and his grace are constant over time, as are his commandments. I'm going to close with this. Practicing God's presence through obedience is walking side by side, lockstep with our Creator, our Savior, with his Spirit within us, on the journey back to Eden that J.R. opened a series with. It's our, it's capital O-U-R, it is our journey back to Eden. And I encourage you all, I encourage you, it's my hope that all of you, your family, your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, your children, your parents, and it might take some doing on our part to do the Lord's work, But it is my hope that all of us join together on that journey. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, I just want to give you praise and glory, Lord. I just want to thank you, Father God, and I just want to lift up. I want to ask for your presence in each heart in this room, for my friends, for myself, us to be in your presence, you to be in our presence, Lord. I pray for obedience for all of us, Lord God, that in our life we would look to your word, we would look to prayer, we would look to hearing from you, Lord God. We would search you. Father, where am I not being obedient? And that you would speak to our heart, Lord, that we would come to you without fear. We wouldn't look like, I don't want to ask God because he's going to expose it to me. No, expose it, Lord. I just pray everybody has the strength to come to you, Lord, and say, show me, Father, where I'm not obedient. And that we would all just find you, Lord, be in your presence. I praise you, love you, and we just thank you in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.